Well, as we go into 2025, it's hard to believe that it's 2025. You know, I had to write a check the other day, and I wanted to write 24 on it, but I had to cross that off and write 25. So how many of you are familiar with the phrase, you know, out with the old, in with the new? A few of you that, yeah. You know, kind of a phrase that's sometimes used at New Year's time, out with the old, in with the new. We often use New Year's as a time of renewal, looking forward to what's next. You know, really, January 1st is an arbitrary date on the calendar that was just put there to begin the mark of something new. But it's good. It's, you know, as humans, we need that. We need those markers of passing of times. You know, we see that in the Old Testament that, you know, back from creation, you know, we have the first day, the second day, the third day, you know, that there are markings of time. In some ways, it's a little strange that we use New Year's. It's in the middle of winter. And, you know, we begin the new year almost at the beginning of winter. But it is a time of renewal. And what do people like to do at New Year's time? Make resolutions. And I'm going to move a little closer for now. Yeah, we like to make resolutions. How many of you have made resolutions for 2025? Anybody, you care to share them, brave enough to do that? What your resolutions are? Anybody? If you don't want to share yours, what are some generic resolutions that people make?
Fitness.
Usually they want to be better fit. I really haven't heard somebody that goes, I need to lose some of my fitness. You know, I need to gain some weight. That usually doesn't happen. It's the other way around. What else? What do people like to make resolutions of?
Years ago, my brother resolved to give up chocolate for a year.
That's an ambitious goal.
He did it.
Okay. Well, he's...
He picked out the next January 1st.
Well, that wasn't... His resolution was for 1 year. Yeah. So what else? What do people make resolutions for? Losing weight? You know, usually people like to make resolutions. Yeah, you lose weight, you want to be better fit, you're going to give something up that maybe would cause you to gain weight. I'm going to read so many books this year. I'm going to try to improve myself. I mean, would you agree that most resolutions deal with improving ourselves? Why? What does that imply?
Because we only need to do it once a year.
We only need to do it once a year, yeah. That's all we think about it. And that's why actually most resolutions fail. So your brother, Tim, is in the 1%. About 1% of people keep their resolutions for a full year. So that was according to a 2023 survey by Forbes Health. So think of that. 1% of people manage to keep the resolutions that they make for an entire year. You know, most people break them within 30 days. Why do you think the failure rate is so high? And today's sermon is going to be not your typical one. I want, you know, a lot of interaction. We're going to do a lot of scripture. But why do we fail?
We're human.
We're humans. What does that mean?
Born in sin.
So we're born into sin. Yeah, not perfect.
Habits are hard to break.
Yeah, habits are hard to break. Only 25% of people stay committed for 30 days or more. So it's hard to break bad habits. But what does it imply that we need to make resolutions to become better? That we're not good enough? Yeah. So, you know, there's an amazing psychology behind New Year's resolutions. You know, some of it, the world is telling us, you're not good enough. Some of it is ourselves. We know we need to improve because we're not good enough, that we could be better, that there's things wrong with us. And that's certainly true. But we fail at amazing rates. You know, we have this phrase in America, you know, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Okay, go ahead and try to do that right now. Let me know if anybody can succeed in that. You know, can you actually, I've got a sore back, I'm not going to do it. The effects of coughing too much. You know, we can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. You know, we try to do it. You know, I think of the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus at the, you know, has the Last Supper with his disciples. He's about to be arrested. He goes to the garden to pray with his disciples. He tells them, stay awake. Pray with me. What happens? They fall asleep. Yeah. He wakes them up. And what do they do again? They fall asleep. You know, and Jesus tells them, you know, couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, it is so easy to say, I am going to do better. Fill in the blank. I am not going to lose my temper. Well, that works for about 5 minutes. And then something happens and I get angry. I am not going to overspend. I am not going to, you know, think about what things you have said to yourselves that you're going to not do. How was it? Yeah. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we try to improve on our own power, we fail. And sometimes people treat Christianity, they treat God as somebody who is going to make you better. That the purpose of Christianity is to make you a better person. And so if you want to come to church, give up your bad habits. You need to talk right. You need to dress appropriately. You need to clean up your language. And once you're good enough, then you can come in and be a part of us. And the problem is when we think that Christianity is only about making yourself better, well, Christianity is just self-improvement religion. And that's not what it is. So we're going to read today, starting from 2 Corinthians. Oh, leaving things all over the place. Really about the purpose of Christianity. So 2 Corinthians 5, 11 to 21. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear the Lord means that we acknowledge him. We know that he is our Lord and Savior. So, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, And I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not what is in the heart. So we see there's people that try to improve themselves. They boast about their outward appearance. Look at me. Look how good I am. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right minds, it is also for you. If the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the message of reconciliation that is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we see a lot in here. You know, if we fear God, it says we persuade others. We tell others about what God has done for us. And we see that actually in Christianity, it's not to make us a better person. It's to put to death the old person. And to give us life. That we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. You know, when we believe in Jesus Christ, our old nature is put to death. You know, it says that the old has passed away. It's gone. So when the Bible talks about the old nature, it's using the word flesh. When it talks about flesh, it's talking about that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, there is a part of us that we struggle with sin every day. You know, it is a real struggle. That's why we make these New Year's resolutions. I am not going to lose my temper. I am going to be a better driver. Because we know that in ourselves, we're not good enough. And so these New Year's resolutions, we look into ourselves and we think, I'm going to try and make a good outward appearance. I'm going to make this nice little facade. But the trouble is that inside, nothing has changed. Unless it comes through Jesus. So it says that in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. It says we don't look at things the way that we used to. You know, we used to regard Christ according to the flesh. That means we looked at him through our old lenses. You know, that Jesus is just there to do this for me. So we have to have a different mindset. We have to regard Christ in a new way. And if we're in Christ, we are created new. So is it bad to make New Year's resolutions? No. But if you, you know, base your worth on that, you know, there's trouble in that. So know that as we go into 2025, Jesus has come in. That old nature, it's out. It's been put to death. But the trouble is, it has to be put to death daily. You know, it likes to come back again and again. From Colossians 3, 1 to 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So this is giving us some hints. What do we need to do? We need to continually set our minds on things that are above. You know, how do we stay in Christ? How do we stay close to him? Fix your minds on him. Think about him all the time. It says that you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is in all, is all, and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. Now we see that we put to death what is earthly. So it is good to desire to be, for a lack of a better word, better. But in the same way, it says that put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Actually, you are already holy. God has chosen you. And the Bible says that you are blameless. You are free of accusation. And those are wonderful words to go into 2025 with, thinking that, you know, Satan is the accuser. He can't accuse you. Because Christ has come in, he's put to death our old nature, and he's brought reconciliation. He has brought peace with God. And because of that, we are to love one another. You know, that's not a resolution. That's a lifestyle. That's a way of life for a Christian, that the love of God fills us, overflows us, controls us. And we do that by constantly focusing and looking at Jesus. You know, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, Oh, you will know this, many of you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we are to throw off everything that entangles. You know, so what is there in your life that's tripping you up? What's keeping you from God? You know, and that's something that we need to think about constantly, because it can change. It's not the same for me now as it was 5 years ago, as it was when I was 15, as it was when I was 20. You know, there's constantly things in my life that keep me from God. Right now, probably this is a big thing that keeps me from God. I find myself using my phone constantly. It's like, oh, I have 30 seconds of downtime. Well, let me see if there's a story here or something I should read. And I find it very difficult to concentrate. You know, the Bible says that we are to be still and know that He is God. You know, have you ever been sitting trying to have a conversation with somebody? You go on and all of a sudden they go, "What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you." Now, how many times has God been trying to get my attention, but I'm too busy, or I'm worried about being bored for a minute, that I miss Him? Now, how many times am I not present because I have a phone out, I have a screen out, and I'm not really paying attention? And I'm not trying to condemn anybody here. This is something that I'm struggling with and that I'm asking God to help me with in 2025. You know, but we are to throw off everything that entangles, because guess what? This is nothing compared to the glory of God. This is nothing compared to knowing God more. Now, am I glad I have a phone? Yeah. Is it a good tool? Yeah. I used it this morning to look up a couple of Bible verses, to actually to find that passage in Hebrews and to look it up initially. So sometimes these things are not bad, but if they entangle us, if they cause us to trip up, to lose focus on Jesus, we're to get rid of them. Throw them off. Put them aside for a time. You know, Jesus tells us that if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? There's so many good things in this world. God has made a good world. Yes, there's things that have been corrupted by sin, and we experience the effects of that every day. You know, the sicknesses that many of us have are a result of that. But overall, the world is pretty good. You know, God created the world, and He does good work. There's a lot of things that we have that are good. But are they keeping you from God? Are they a distraction? It might be a hobby. It might be things that you really enjoy. Nope. In 2025, we're trying to do this Bible reading plan. You know, you can go through the New Testament in 5 minutes a day Actually, you could probably read through the New Testament several times if you just spent five times a day. Now, how much time do you spend with God? And it's not meant, again, to be a law-driven thing, but this is a question for you to think about. How much time are you spending with God? You know, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. We are to, you know, focus and seek the things that are above, where Christ is. And we do that because Christ has died for us. You know, we do it with joy. We do it with thanksgiving. You know, Christianity is not supposed to be a religion of drudgery. But you read through the New Testament, we are to be joyful. We are to be thankful. You know, we are to be filled with love. You know, these are the things that God has given to us. You know, these are good things. You know, so remember, you are a new creation. The old is gone. Christ has made you new. So in Christ, you are new. And so as we go into 2025, I encourage you, you know, turn your eyes to Jesus, fix your eyes upon him. You know, that is the hope that we have.